You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Sometimes change happens quickly. New high-rises go up on your block. Your favorite coffee shop closes. You can see it happening all around you. But sometimes change happens more slowly. Climate change, for example. As the UN Conference on Climate Change in Paris draws closer, there's a renewed focus on how to make this very big change feel as tangible and urgent as that new high-rise on the block. The Bay Area's Climate Music Project at UC Berkeley is trying to do just that, using climate change data to make music so we can hear what rising temperatures might sound like. KALW's Julie Kane met up with the project's composer to talk about how this translation experiment works.
Eric Ian Walker is a composer.
I'm sort of an alchemist with sound.
His music studio looks pretty much how you'd expect. One side's dominated by a big mixing console with all kinds of knobs and buttons and lights. Big speakers sit in the corner. A few feet away, a piano is piled with sheet music. And then there are all the scientific graphs pinned up on his wall.
So we have all these curves, right? There's sea ice, the pH of the ocean, the incoming and outgoing long wave radiation, which is actually kind of the big thing, CO2 increase, and air temperature.
The graphs show climate change, how it's projected to affect our world and how it has already. But it's all numbers and lines, plotting incremental changes over time. Walker's job is to translate this data into music, to create a composition that will let listeners feel how climate has and might change over 500 years, from 1800 to 2300, all in the course of 30 minutes.
The scientific data is very real, and I'm following it rather religiously to make it happen. But there's still the human element in it.
What he means is he's using his skills as a composer to create something people will actually want to listen to and be able to tolerate.
So this is when things are just sort of stable and not changing. But we do have the violin is weaving in and out. There's a little bit of an orchestral sound.
The violin represents humanity. In the performance, musicians will play live on stage against the backdrop of Walker's composition, the human element interacting with the ongoing changes in the background of ambient sound he's making in the studio. Walker has assigned musical properties to all those climate change graphs on his wall. So increases in air temperature change the pitch. Solar radiation distorts the notes. Higher levels of carbon dioxide speed up the tempo. As the piece progresses, he starts to let the course of climate change affect the melody. You can really start hearing changes around the year 1950. That's when CO2 levels first start to noticeably rise and the temperature begins creeping up. By the year 2000, just 50 years later, the temperature has gone up one full degree Celsius, and that's where we still are, right now, in 2015. Now, 1 degree might not seem like a lot, until you hear it. By the year 2025, projections show the temperature rising another full degree, 20 years instead of 200. Climate change is starting to happen faster. Walker says this is where climate scientists are pushing for us to stay, if at all possible. To do that, we'd have to cap all carbon emissions by the year 2100. And even if we do, Walker says temperatures will still continue to rise, although more gradually. But if we don't,
So 3 degrees is like 2060. 4 degrees is 2075. 5 degrees up is 2100. I mean, that's pretty cacophonous disaster.
The cacophonous disaster hits its peak in this musical composition in the year 2300, 500 years after it starts. By that time, if we've done nothing, the project's climate researchers say the temperature will have risen by 9 degrees Celsius, which makes that pretty melody we started with sound something like this. It's hard to listen to. And that's the point. If the global temperatures really went up that much, the results would be catastrophic. But Walker wants people to be able to stay with the bigger point of the piece, that we're not there yet, that it doesn't have to be inevitable.
So periodically during this cacophony, as things get wilder and wilder, we pause and we refer back to where the world would be if we managed to hold it at 2 degrees, because that's where we kind of need to be able to hold it. That would be livable. So that gives us a ray of hope in this.
For Cross Currents, I'm Julie Kane.